Welcome to South End Supporters, a St. Louis City SC podcast brought to you by Postal Coffee Company. David Heck alongside Eric Cole. Eric, finally getting that monkey off the back in the MLS, grabbing the first win at home against City Park. Man, St. Louis looked great.
All I kept thinking throughout the night was like, now that's more like it. That's the city we've known all last year. They looked up for it.
Can you say some team looked like vintage City at that point when it's only been a year plus as a team?
That is a great point, yeah. But didn't it just feel but like, it did. Oh, man.
This was vintage City. This is what City looked like at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. Pressure, right? The press looked amazing. Mm-hmm. So much intensity and just like never slowed down for 90-plus minutes. Yeah. And I feel like that's what the team has missed, at least down the stretch last year. And we said it a few times, but kind of getting that swagger back. And, man, they really had it. They were flying around the pitch Saturday night.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to say as well, as getting their swagger back. There was, like, quite a few times that you saw Leuven pulling off these moves. AZ, Celio, Totlin even got a couple megs in there. Like, they just were playing with such confidence that night. They got back to 1-2 touch passing. The press was a unified press, which created a lot of dangerous situations, or it just kept New York in their own defensive half throughout the night. Like, you just felt like throughout the whole night, we were in control. And it was great because New York actually did travel with a decent amount of supporters up in that away supporter section. And they even felt like about 15 minutes in, those drums got quiet because they were sensing kind of like how the night was going to go.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I wasn't at the game, and I'll talk about my experience outside of the game here in just a bit. So you were there. You brought the family down. So
the
you
whole
and,
family.
And the wife and the girls were there. How'd the girls do?
They loved it.
Yeah.
They had a great time. Lakeland wasn't as big of a fan of the noise-canceling headphones we got her.
Picture's hilarious,
dude,
though.
They look so big on her little head because she's only going to be 6 months here soon. But she, it's so funny because there was a couple moments where like we would be cheering and you'd hear her like screaming as well. Like she just wanted to participate. And there was one point she was getting fussy and we were like, oh, I don't know. You know, she just ate. And it was because she wanted to be turned around to look at the field.
Yeah.
Like she loves watching the games with me, like at home in sports. And so it's just funny. Like she wanted to see the colors and people running around, and Delaney loved it. She loved booing. She loved like just yelling. She loved seeing Berkey. Like she was, they had a great time.
Yeah, I think it's funny because if I didn't have kids and I didn't know Lakeland, I think if I heard somebody saying that she likes to watch the games, I would be like, dude, come on. Like she doesn't really. That kid likes to watch games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily matter what kind of game. Like as long as there's a green field out there and like colors running around the field,
yeah.
She enjoys it. I've sat with that girl on my lap before and she can't get enough of it.
It's a dream for me. And it's just, again, like we talked about last year, it's so cool just getting to experience that with your kids and seeing the excitement all day. Are we going to the soccer game yet? Can I put my soccer shirt on? Can we go this? Like, It was great, and we had no ice cream fiascos this time.
That's good.
No issues. It was just good, smooth sailing the whole way through.
You know, to my knowledge, last year the only place to get ice cream was the Nitro ice cream. What is that called over there?
I can't think of the name. The west side
of the stadium.
Yeah, the south.
Yeah,
south
where they're west side. They're doing like nitro infused. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks really good. The line's always crazy. That was your one ice cream experience last year. Yes. There is a new ice cream stand on the
southeast side.
Southeast, yeah.
Yeah, right. I saw it. It's right before it used to just be a beer stand, and it looks like they got like quite a few things as well as far as snacks, but it's right next to the stairs that lead up to the second level on near that south entrance. And so I wasn't even going to dare acknowledge it or let the kids know that it was there. But yeah, I mean, it's just good that they are throwing in multiple ice cream options. So maybe like we talked about, they're adding a lot of like kids, friendly foods throughout the spot. So it's really cool. Another thing that I thought was great that a lot of people might not think about or know about was there's a nursing room in the southwest corner, kind of near the stairs, near that entrance, as well as it's right next to the bathrooms and like the lost and found. It's kind of hidden in the corner, but my wife took the girls back there, obviously, to feed the baby a couple of times, and she said it's great. She said it's a nice, cozy rooms, multiple. They got fridges in there in case you need to, like, store milk or anything. They have refreshments. They have pictures of, like, the city logo that kids can color, which was perfect for Delaney. She loved that. They have TVs so you could still watch the game. I think it's something that maybe not a lot of moms know about, or it's also like they have a sensory room for maybe kids who are struggling with the noise. So it's just a great thing that, you know, kind of like your wife touched on, maybe a lot of places that aren't owned by women maybe don't think about. And so it's just, again, adding to how great that city has set City Park up to just accommodate everybody.
Well, they're all about the fan experience. I think league-wide, you probably get a lot of that. I'm not sure if that exists in other stadiums. I didn't know it existed at City Park until this morning when you told me about it.
Yeah.
So it's great that they're doing that. And I've been around that part of the stadium a whole lot. I mean, I'll go to Dewey's, which is right over there, that little market where Dewey's sits, just kind of walking around the stadium in order to get to anything on the west end. From at least where we sit, the closest direction would be to walk right past where you're talking about anyway. We've come in that, not a lot, but we have come in that entrance before. Like, we were over at Cyberg's one time. On that side. So we have come in that way also a time or two, but never paid attention to that. So I'm assuming it was there last year. I guess we don't know the answer to
that. I'm assuming as well, yeah. I don't even know how she found out about it, because I assume she was just going to the bathroom to, you know, change a diaper and do all that type of stuff. So I don't know if somebody maybe directed her towards there, or she saw it online and somebody posted about it, but it's cool just to kind of help get the word out for those moms. Cause we have seen quite a few babies or little kids or, you know, all throughout the stadium. Like you talked about, it's a great family atmosphere that they provide there. So yeah, if you don't know about it, it's just another good thing to know. I'm curious to know, like, if that's the only one, are there other ones, you know, maybe on the northeast end of the stadium? I don't believe, because that's where Hellcat is. But then again, it was just, you know, right next to the bathroom. So maybe there is, and we just, you know, we're not looking for that sign. So who knows? But it's just another cool thing to have there.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to my buddy Byron, who lives in the neighborhood with me. You mentioned Hellcat. This goes back to the whole fan experience there also. So my birthday was last week, and my buddy Byron, who's in the neighborhood here, had dropped off a little present for me. And one of the things included in that was a scarf with Hellcat and the logo and everything on it. And it looks really cool. And he's a military guy, right? So I live in a neighborhood and a community full of military folks right next to Scott Air Force Base over on the Illinois side. And so he's been in the Air Force, you know, for his entire career at this point. And just what that Hellcat story means to a lot of people that have experience in the Air Force, knowing that Carolyn Kendall's father was involved in, like, flying, you know, fighter jets, essentially. So something that, like, at surface level, you wouldn't necessarily think much of. I mean, it's a cool logo. It's kind of a cool name. But when you actually read the story about it and understand, like, what that means to people that are actually, you know, fighting for the country and spending time in the Air Force and potentially other branches of the military as well, I think it just adds to it. Just such a cool thing that they've put into it, and just so much, like, history that they've developed in such a short amount of time at that stadium, and this, like, whole community involvement and everything that's been built there.
No, 100%. That's such a cool thing that I didn't even really was aware of, but I love that anything City really does, they somehow try to, you know, they're not just doing it to do it,
right,
or because it looks,
there's
something
a reason
behind it.
There's a purpose.
The lines on the new Confluence kit, there's a reason behind it. I think the away kit last year had something as well. But the details, you know, of just including, like, the St. Louis flag on the jerseys, like, little details here and there that there's, you could tell there's thought behind it, that they're, you know, really trying, or the 100% food from local areas, like, I don't
the really, inaugural book.
The inaugural book. I mean, so much that they're trying to not only just build up the team, but the area, and, you know, really proud St. Louisans. So I love that City, you know, includes those little details, and they're not just trying to do something that they think looks cool.
Yeah, you've got the statues, the artwork that sits outside the stadium, which honors the neighborhood that used to be the all black neighborhood that was there prior to, mm-hmm. you know, years and years ago before you know, that there were people that were living essentially right in that area in this little community. So, you know, they've got that to recognize it. So you go to City Park and it's like, man, there's a lot more than meets the eye when you get into that place. Great building, super cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still amazed by being in a crazy long line going into that stadium and getting through it in just a couple of minutes, which is amazing. I mean, I'm still blown away by how that works.
My daughter last night when we were standing there, she, you know, kids, you know, how much longer? Yeah. 2 minutes. How much longer? 1 minute. And she's like, this line's going to take forever, yeah, though. And it, I was just sitting there like, just wait. The second it moves, we'll be there in a minute. And sure enough,
if you're a kid and you've ever been to an amusement park and you have to wait in one of those lines, yeah, you know how long they take. So like, that's their only frame of reference,
yeah,
for it.
This is
going to be really long, you know. Yeah. It's just not the case. So I'm just blown away every time I go there. Unfortunately, Eric, I wasn't at this game. The reason why is because we went out for my birthday, my wife and I. So we went down to the casino, took them for millions, which was we broke even. It literally broke even. I say that a lot when we lose, but it actually was dead even when we got in there. And my wife got some free sodas, so she ended up feeling like she like took them for a, yeah, little bit anyway. Yeah. You got to get what you can in there.
Yeah, you take them peanuts and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, whatever you're going to give away there, we're going to capitalize on, as they've done to us so many times. But I will say this, and this is a frustration of mine, and something I got to air out a little bit before we get into it. Not to like, I don't necessarily think this is Apple's fault. They're just doing a deal. I think it's, I got to say, I think my frustration on this is more MLS-wide, but you go to the casino, and naturally, there's a lot of televisions everywhere. There's bars all over the place. Most of the tables have TVs above them, you know, to be able to sit and watch. No soccer, right? The Blues game was on because the Blues game is on a regional sports network, but soccer's got this exclusive deal with Apple for 9 more years, I think, 8 or 9 more years at this point.
Yeah, something big.
And so to grow a game, at least growing a local fan interest in something with casual observers, it makes it really hard without like to make this readily accessible. So, for instance, if you wanted to just sit around at your house and purchase Apple subscription, I mean, you could do that for a nominal fee, and it's probably fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about all the issues that Apple's had. There's definitely, yeah, been issues with their broadcast.
Continue and continue.
And I think there might have been some last night as well, or Saturday night, I should say, as well. But the biggest issue is that if you go to a place, unless they're really locked in, and unless, you know, they have some sort of subscription because they are going to either brand themselves as a City on Tap bar or, you know, market like, hey, look, we have the games and, mm-hmm, you can come and watch them here. If you just go to a regular bar and grill, or like I said, in this case, a casino, those games aren't on. And so people aren't getting a chance to, you know, hang out and have a beer or have, you know, some bar food or whatever it may be, as far as the masses go, and be able to catch a game. So it's hard to grow a fan base, I, yeah, think, casually anyway, without having that. You know that if you want to watch a Cardinals game or if you want to watch a Blues game, they're going to be on every time on Bally's or wherever it may be to be able to, you know, to check that out. Now, there are talks that maybe the MLB does a deal with Amazon. I think that would be virtually catastrophic to growing a game that is definitely died off a little bit interest-wise over the years with the you know, young millennials and the Gen Zers. But not having those games readily available to people to be able to just see, and you can go to, you know, a Buffalo Wild Wings, or you could go to a Hooters, or you could go to a Cybergs. You know, I know I'm mentioning places in some part that do televise them,
mm-hmm,
but just a regular sports bar, a neighborhood sports bar, and be able to say, okay, the Cardinals are going to be on, I'll watch that, or the Blues are going to be on, I'll watch that. Or even the Battlehawks in the UFL, you can watch those games. They're on ESPN or they're on Fox. You can get those games anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the NFL is going to be out, you know, televised everywhere. But you just don't get that with the MLS, and I think that's just a huge miss to help grow the league. I get asked all the time where the best place is to watch City games, and the answer is always the same. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, and it's not even close. Not only can you watch every single home and away City game surrounded by fans, but you can do it while enjoying the best pizza in the area. Now, I like the Murphy Pie, which is chicken, wing sauce, green onions, blue cheese, and jalapeno ranch. but maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you're more of a fan of a traditional pizza. Then check out the Dogtown with Italian sausage, pepperoni, and pepper bacon. Or maybe you're like my partner Eric over here and you like a little bit of both. It doesn't matter what your tastes are because you can order any of the pizzas at Felix's by the slice. But it is no ordinary slice. Felix's offers the largest slice you are going to find anywhere in St. Louis. So mix and match. Try different pizzas. Just make sure to save room for their award-winning double trashed wings in buffalo, jalapeno ranch, or Thai chili. And if you're looking for something to do during the week, head to Felix's every Tuesday night for Stoned Trivia to test your knowledge in the most fun bar trivia around. Even if you're not a trivia buff, you can still win great prizes, so show up at 7 and be ready to have some fun. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, located at 6401 Clayton Avenue in Dogtown, and check them out online at Felix's Dogtown.
Or even, you know, this what we saw with the CONCACAF Champions League. I don't know how many people I saw say, I don't have FS2.
Right.
Like, you know, I relate kind of like I think about, you know, I don't gamble, but there's been times that I've gone with you or and buddies to the casino just to hang out with everybody. And I just do think that how great of a situation it would be for those who are either out or not gambling or just hanging out, just to be able to watch the game while it's on. And you think about environments like that, casinos, for instance, say a table's hot and people are cheering and everything, it's going to draw attention to that area. And if a game's on and people start cheering, they're going to be like, what's going on? Oh, it's that City team. I've heard about them. And wow, they're winning. Oh, look at that place. It's packed. It's loud. You know, it just draws the attention. Remember when we went to Memphis to watch the Memphis Grizzlies play and we went during March Madness? They have like a little sports bar within the arena.
Yeah. The place is awesome, by the way.
It was great. And what almost piqued our attention, because we don't really have like a rooting interest as far as college games go, was the table across the bar would start cheering and we'd kind of be like, huh, I wonder what that is. And it would just draw our attention to it. And I think a place like a casino or, you know, any sort of sports environment, any of those restaurants you named, it would be the same, to where somebody who isn't familiar with the team or isn't into the team or know about the team, just feeding off of other people's energy, it would draw their attention to be like, huh, we're winning. And, you know, you think about that night, what greater example? You see how packed City Park is, you see, you know, that they're winning and they're playing well. It's just going to possibly be like, oh, I saw that the other day. I'll check them out the next game they play because it looks exciting. Or so many people in here are into it. You kind of just, you know, want to be a part of the group.
Right.
So I agree with you. While I do think there's probably a lot of money that Apple is providing the league, who knows where that money's actually going and what good it's actually doing.
South Florida.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Because I saw something about sports bars. I saw on like an MLS fan group page that they're upset because like every banner that they're getting, it's just basically a massive Messi poster.
Yeah, of course.
There's no correlation with their local team there.
Yeah.
And so it's just, again, I get it. Not knocking him or anything, but you want to grow the league, not grow a team, because in 2 years – he's gone.
Not going to be here.
And then what are you
right?
What are you doing? I wish, yeah, there was like a secondary option for if there are issues with Apple, you could be like, you know, forget this. I'm going to go watch it on whatever. Or even if like, you know, the local sports network, Bally's 2, something like that got an option as well. Something
I think
to where
that would
there
be
was just a multiple
huge
option and just easier access for these people. Because there's a lot of people who love the sport, but they're, you know, those stubborn type people where they're like, I'm not getting a subscription to another thing
right
just for this.
Because we all have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Right. We all have a bunch of
too
them.
Many.
Yeah.
And so I think at the end of the day, you want to grow the sport as much as you can, and limiting it to a solo option and then also having issues. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, I'm canceling this because each week there's issues, whether mm-hmm. it's audio, whether it's timing, anything. If you're also not putting a great product out there as well,
right,
that could deter people from watching. So,
I mean, I think the biggest, the most eye-opening thing for me, and I've experienced this before as well, not a lot, because if I am going to go out, especially during an away game, I'll probably go out to a place that I know is going to have it. But mm-hmm. I've definitely noticed this before, and last night was so eye-opening. The team's playing in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. They're here. They're from Horseshoe, where we were at downtown. That stadium's probably like 3 miles from there, you know, 4 miles maybe. There's a video wall, probably like 8 or 9, 10 TVs that are on one of the walls by a bar, and just like a little sports bar setting inside the casino there. It's not on, right? And I'm just thinking, like, what a miss when you think about a team locally that's playing here in front of a sold-out crowd that's going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And other people in pockets of the city are probably watching this in certain parts. But to know that you can go somewhere in the city and not have a game on of a major sports team, it's crazy to
me. Or to go to, like, a bar that you would assume has it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've probably all done this where you go, hey, can you put on this game? And then they we don't have Apple.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, well, we're here. I guess we can't leave. Like,
I know.
It just that assumption, I guess, of like our experience that we had at Cybers, even though it's an on tap, you know, they had issues to where it you know, it kind of, you're like, oh, well, I guess I won't go out to watch these games anymore.
Not only did they have issues, but they eventually started playing music.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the sound, you know? So it's frustrating, but hopefully they'll get that figured out, because I do think that there's a lot of people that would be locked into it, just in this town especially, that, like, I mean, I think St. Louisans would root for a local badminton team if they had the opportunity to, you know.
I was describing that to the girl who normally sits on the other side of South End stand. She was there in love with our kids throughout the night watching them. And so we got to talking at one point, and she's like, I normally sit next to your father-in-law. And she was explaining, and I was explaining his new, you know, coming into the sport and how much he's loving it. But I was like explaining, like, I think he's the type to where him and you, you know, if St. Louis had a badminton team, you guys would be rooting for it.
So
there's a lot of people that when they find out their city has a sport, they're gonna follow it just to be proud St. Louis, you know?
100%. He's in South Florida right now watching very mediocre spring training baseball. So he'll be back soon. Look, a win for City, which was great. 2-0. The lineup looked like this. Berkey, of course, in goal. Markanik, Nielsen, Parker, Totland. We'll get it right one of these days. Celio, Leuven, Durkin, and Vasilev, and then AZ and Adeniran rounded out the 11. I loved it. Now, I'm not just saying that because of the result. I think that that's easy to Monday morning quarterback that and say, well, things went really well. I like the lineup. I genuinely liked it. I thought it was really good. And the big part of that is because I was really wanting to see Sam up top without Klaus, you know, and just see what he could do. And he flourished.
One thing, there was a lot that I took away from just seeing that starting lineup. And I tweeted out, like, right away, I was like, I am not mad at this at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it showed there was definitely a purpose on the night that we're coming. And a couple things I saw, Sam can handle himself if he's playing a solo striker role and get the midfield involved and still play his game where he's just beating defenders with his speed and his size, but still, you know, make sure he's there for if any link-up plays needed. This was the first time we really truly saw from the start, you know, Leuven and Durkin start together.
Yeah.
And I thought they worked well together. You know, there is a worry that maybe one of them just can, we don't keep that defensive structure as much, but I thought Durkin held back well. He's definitely a lot more all over the place than maybe we see Blom, but I think he looked good partnered with Leuven. And then I think as of right now, I'm thinking that's probably our best, our strongest back four with Markanik, Nielsen, Parker, and Totland. We got a fantastic view on the south end where we're at of Totland last night in that second half, and he just looks like such a massive upgrade to me so far, signing of the season by far. He looks like he was what we were hoping would be that void that we needed filled. And then one thing I was really impressed on the night as well is the amount of sprints that Parker and Nielsen had to make for their strikers with pace. And still, while they're not the fastest, and their strikers definitely had a foot on them, their body positioning and their effort to get there and still shield the ball and either create a foul or run it out for a goal kick was phenomenal. And then both of them with their tackling on the night just looked like they were doing it with such confidence and such precision on their timing that defensively, I mean, you really just didn't feel like worried throughout the night. You felt like we were just in control, and that starting the like you touched on, the press was just fully moving in unison, which we've thoroughly been missing throughout the year, which we capitalized on. And then we just got back to simple 1-2 touch passing, and I believe our pass accuracy was dramatically up, and even our possession was pretty close to them. So it's one thing that we harped on earlier this season is we may not possess the ball much, but we have to have at least accurate passes when we're doing it. And seeing it change that night was, I think, a massive change in the game.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was in the game against Salt Lake. I want to say it was
like
in the
68.
That was for passing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the possession was way down.
Yeah, like
in the 30s. You think about it, almost 82, 83%, depending on where you're looking at it, as far as pass accuracy went. And then 48% possession, if you go off of MLS's stats. The ESPNs are a little bit different. I don't know why they're not aligned. But the thing that you brought up is a great point, is the defense and how it played and being able to kind of get back and make plays on balls. Eight total shots for New York City, only one of them finding Berkey, who made a great save on it. We'll definitely spend some time breaking that one down. But City had five block shots. Mm-hmm. So all of these shots that were being taken by New York City just couldn't find Berkey because the defense had recovered enough to make plays on it. And then when you factor that in with the press and you watch that game and just see how many red jerseys are flying around in New York City's backfield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't really get going forward a lot. And like they just, again, it looked like vintage St. Louis City. It looked like that's what the gegen press should do. And they didn't get caught on counters near as much as they were doing the countering. And that's when the team is really exciting to watch.
Hey, if you're a coffee lover like me, then you've got to try some of the best local coffee there is from Postal Coffee. Will over at Postal Coffee is super passionate about his roasting process, and it really shows in every bag. Every small batch is made to order from small visited sustainable farms, so you really get that great flavor and get that care in every order. Also, 20% of all profit goes to veteran suicide prevention. So not only are you getting a great tasting product, but you're supporting a great cause as well. And if you use the code SOUTHEND at checkout, you'll receive 15% off your entire first order. Nothing goes better to start your day than a new episode of SOUTHEND Supporters and a cup of Postal Coffee. So check them out on their Instagram at Postal Coffee Co. and check out their website at postalcoffeeco.com. Yeah, I think it was weird because normally we don't feel it. I felt like we controlled the game. Like,
agreed.
And which is also weird to think that that's something New York is kind of known for, is slowly controlling the game. But what we did with that press, and we kept our shape so well, we didn't really get out of sync with, you know, bodies running all over the place. Everybody held their shape really well. And then when we pressed, I just felt like, especially that first half down on the south end, the ball just stayed down there. We didn't really let them, it felt like, get past half ever, unless they were dumping it and running kind of like we did last week in that desperation. So it just felt great that, like, even when they would retain possession and they try and get out of their backfield, we kept them in. And then again, it's tougher to chase than to lead, and I felt like we were doing that great throughout the night. And we kept that pressure that we've been known for, but I think holding that shape throughout the night is what really helped that defensive structure as well, and not just them trying to withstand this pressure all night.
Well, it was a 2-0 game, so the defense was great. Berkey did make a tremendous save later on in the game that kept it kept the clean sheet intact for him. But the defense created offense, I think, was kind of my biggest takeaway from this, and it started in that seventh minute when Parker made that amazing slide tackle. Just amazing.
Yes.
I mean, he went in super hard, and this is the aggression that we saw in the cup match earlier in the week, where his replacement actually had gone in and made a nice slide tackle there in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But that aggression and that commitment, knowing it's like, look, you can't be a little bit late. If you're a little bit late, you're getting booked.
Mm-hmm.
But he hits it just perfectly, and then eventually gets distributed out to Celio. Celio hits a banger off the post here, man. This thing, you had to have heard this on the south end just reverberating. That thing was ripped.
I think I felt it.
Like, yeah.
That thing, it was great, because not that Celio ever lacks confidence, but you just saw right after that, you just saw this like smile get bigger on him, and you just felt like, oh, Celio's going to be dangerous tonight. And boy, was he ever. He played a phenomenal game, man of the match that night. But yeah, he cuts it in on his preferred right foot and just finds himself space. And I love that he went for it. You know, we've talked about this indecision in the final third, you know, that City's been struggling with. I love that he just brings it in, no thinking, one thing on his mind, he's cutting in and he's having one, and wasn't far off from getting a real quick start for St. Louis City.
Yeah, that one, I mean, like the old Mighty Ducks line, it was a quarter of an inch, yeah. Quarter of an inch, Charlie. You know, yeah. I mean, it was right there. It was absolutely ripped. He could have had an even bigger game than he had already had. Mm-hmm. But that was great to say. I mean, you mentioned like 16 shots City had on this one. They seem to, at least on the surface, and this is my fault for not being a professional and looking up the statistics on shots taken against Real Salt Lake, but it didn't seem like they shot the ball a lot against Salt Lake.
I think it was like three.
Yeah, they would get in the defensive third. It's like they did that a lot, it seemed like, but then they just didn't let it go and they would just get the ball taken from them. Mm-hmm. Here, they were taking chances, taking shots after shot after shot. I mean, Celio had a couple. You know, AZ had a couple. Sam had a few. You had Markkanen taking one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got to shoot to score. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the great Michael Scott quote.
Yeah.
Right? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yes.
I think Wayne Gretzky might have said that as well.
Depends on
who you ask, for sure. But they did. I mean, they weren't hesitant with it today, Saturday night, and it showed.
But it's like you touched on. They were playing with that swagger. They were playing with that confidence again. They weren't second guessing themselves this night. You got to shoot to score. And I love that, you know, AZ was taking them, whereas the past couple games, he maybe continued to try and dribble on these. You know, Sam, we know, is always up for hitting a rocket no matter where he's at. And so it's just great finally seeing this, not second guessing themselves. They were playing with confidence and they were going for it. And I think, to be honest, I think that seventh minute start of Celio, I mean, when you see any of your players, you know, go for it and be that close, you're like, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm getting this. You feed off of that.
Well, when you have an away supporting section that comes and quiets down in the 15 minute of a scoreless game, you know that something's going right.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
You mentioned AZ, the 32nd, man. He had a one from outside the 18. It was a diving save by Matthew Freeze. The ball ended up hitting the post, but this was on net, on target. So credited with a shot there on goal from AZ. That was close to going in, too.
It caught us off guard because it was on his weaker left, and we weren't really, you know, it was a ways out and just kind of a solid shot skimming across the ground. And then all of a sudden we see it bounce back out and we're like, oh, because it hit the opposite far post from our view. And it was like, oh, man, that was there. And so, but again, it was just good seeing like, good, we're taking shots tonight, boys.
When I look at these games and I see back-to-back-to-back-to-back moments of, you know, pressure and shots, that's what we talked about prior to and kind of hinted at just now with New York City's supporter section just quieting down. And you mentioned they brought drums out, whole gamut, right? Mm-hmm. They were really loud at the beginning and kind of drowning out some sound. But when you see just like moment after moment after moment of, okay, you could almost kind of sense a goal is coming at that point. That's kind of what happened. And you talk about like AZ just missing there. It wasn't more than a couple of minutes later and Celio finds the back of the net. Again, all credit, credit to Celio because of his dribble skills and how good he is with the ball. But the press worked again in this situation as well. You had the sliding challenge to keep it in. I think that was Markkanen that did that. I'd have to go back and rewatch, but I think it was Markkanen that actually kept it in. It then went back to a New York City player, but then Leuven won the ball. AZ takes it from him, finds Celio. Celio dribbles, I don't know, three, four New York City defenders there, and then finds the back of the net. Just a beautiful finish and amazing shot that, you know, he ultimately created a lot of it on his own just by his skills with the ball.
Yeah, and he was known for it last year. I think he led the league in a dribble percentage, so we know he's got that capability. We always see it coming down that left side in the south end. And again, it was just one thing on his mind. There wasn't any second guessing, and I think that's one thing we do like about Celio is he just plays with such freedom, and you could tell he's one of the few that doesn't hesitate because he gets the ball and he kind of has a one-track mind when he does. And just the confidence he has dribbling with it, he doesn't, you know, second guess, do I lay it off, do I do this or whatever. He had one thing on his mind, slots it in near post, and again, it was just kind of, it was great to know that, you know, it was, as the half was ticking on, you're also kind of worrying that, oh man, we're carrying all this pressure and all, we're not allowing them any opportunity. But you got to think, New York's probably thinking, man, if we can get into halftime with this, kill all this momentum, and then, you know, come out second half on an even playing field, that would have boosted their confidence. So another big thing for that goal was just kind of, you know, solidifying the dominance that we were showing in that first half.
Yeah, it was a lot of dominance, and you're right. The worst thing there would have been to absorb a goal, you know, on some sort of a counterattack or some kind of flukish thing, and you just dominate a half, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've given one up. Fortunately, that wasn't the case. It got a little scary, yes, because you're winning 1-0, looking like, hey, you're probably going to get into the half with a lead. It did work out that way, thanks to the best goalie in the MLS.
None other than
Roman Berkey, 42nd minute. Hannes Wolf had taken a header on a pass, got inside the six on this, mm-hmm, and blasted it, mm-hmm, and blasted it. But Berkey coming off his line absolutely fearlessly to get his body on it to make a save. The one thing that I noticed about this, not just the save itself, but a ball that was struck with that much power from that close a range, and getting a lot of Berkey on that one, the little spillage that was created there. I mean, the ball only went a couple of feet away, and Berkey was able to dive on top of it and not allow a rebound, because that's one that seems like that ball could have went a lot of different directions, but Berkey just like kept it right there in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it with the word fearless there, because coming out, he comes out to take away the angle, take away space that he could have to finish it, makes himself big so there's even less of area, but then just to know that you're going to get hit either by the ball, most likely by the player, because you're in full commitment to that. There's no hesitancy that can be made. That's a lot of experience that he knows, kind of seeing how the play is going to develop and coming off his line with, you know, precision timing, and then just being able to make himself big to make the save. And then even collects it himself, like you talked about. Very little spillage into a good area, so I feel like every game we say some sort of highlight on him and just continue to compliment how great of a goalie he is for us. And again, best goalie in the league. There's no question about it at all. And so it just was, again, great, like we just touched on, that he keeps us in these games even when we are dominant and we're doing great on the field. You know, it can be discouraging. You think, boy, we've been dominating this long and we're still tied. So again, super Berkey.
Yeah, he played amazing the whole game, but really that one in particular, the one actual save that he had to make on it on the night, took place in that 42nd minute. 1-0 headed into the half. I thought, of all the halves that I've watched recently, this goes back into a good chunk of the fall of last year. This was as good as this team has played, I think, that I can remember seeing in a half of soccer.
Yeah, I tweeted out at half. I don't normally do, but I just had to, like, I put, this is our best half of the year so far, including preseason, everything. It just, you know, the frustration I think we've had all year is we know what this team is capable of, and we just hadn't seen it. And so watching that half, you just kind of felt finally like, yes, this is what we've been wanting to see on the field, and this is what we've been, you know, knowing that you guys are capable of this whole time. So to see a strong lineup go out there and then, you know, dominate pretty much, it was just great for our confidence as fans as well, knowing going into that second half, if we can match that, we're good to go.
Now, I saw a statistic get posted out on the fan page, actually, where Sam has played in 20 MLS games in his career. So Sam Adeniran, Super Sam, whatever you want to call the Sam the Man, like whatever you want to call the guy at this point, right? He's done it all and deserves whatever nickname gets thrown at him. In half of those games, he scored. And yeah, and this was no different. We talked a lot about it last week. Who would we see score? Or sorry, who would we see play up top, I should say? Would it be Klaus? Would it be Sam? Would it be a combination of the two of them? You know, Klaus came in late, but it was Sam getting the start, and rightfully so. I think he had a couple of opportunities in the first half that he just missed on, but again, just his ability to take shots and create chances. But he got one in the 72nd minute on Acilio pass, which was great to see. Again, winning the ball in your half, causing a turnover, and then just that quick outlet pass to Celio and exploding down the left side there. Celio plays one outside. I didn't think that Sam was going to take this shot. I don't think Matthew Freeze thought he was going to take this shot. He looked a little surprised. I'm feeling like he's probably going to cross this back to Klaus, and this is what you see Sam do a lot, is he's able to play a little bit more on the wings as opposed to Klaus, who is more like your traditional striker. I feel like he wants the ball on his foot, you know, kind of just like point blank and being able to finish. Sam can create chances. In this situation, I'm thinking he's probably going to look to cross this back, as we've seen him do before, but he takes it on, and not only does he take it on, he goes near post. The angle was so slim here, but he buries it.
There's no reason Sam should have scored that goal, but the fact that he hits it with such pace and just, like you said, catching him off guard, nobody thinks he's going near post on that. And one thing that I've also noticed that night, and we have a few players that get this way, but especially Sam, when we play him through the whole crowd, you just feel the energy go up. You just feel like he's about to create something. You know, it's kind of the same with AZ in space, or, you know, Celio on the ball. You just feel like the noise level slowly rise, and as he's running down the field, everybody just kind of, it's hard to say, like, people started standing because we stand the whole time.
Right.
But you just felt that energy
stand
of people
a little
like
taller,
knowing something was going to happen. And then it from the south end, again, it just kind of catches us off guard because we see he's got a bad angle. We see he kind of went deep into it. We assume it's going to be a cross. And then all of a sudden we see the net bulge and we're just like, what? Like, yes. And so, again, not to keep going back on it, but not second guessing. He ran with that, and he had one thing on his mind, is I'm taking this to goal, and I'm going to blast it. And so it was just great, again, feeling like we weren't second-guessing ourselves in that final third and, you know, putting shots on goal. And to blast it that near post shouldn't happen, but, boy, were we glad it did.
Yeah, if I were there in attendance, I would have seen it happen immediately, because I stare up at the video board at the top when they're on the north end, because I can't see anything going on in the south end anyway. It's shame on me for not bringing my glasses to it. But, you know, 38 years on this planet has taken a toll on my vision.
Yes.
So I stare up at the video board. I think I would have probably seen it and reacted maybe a little bit quicker. Honestly, though, because of his reaction, and he's so
humble.
Just like humble and stoic about things.
Yeah.
I was watching this game on my phone in the passenger seat of my vehicle, not while I was driving, but I was in the passenger seat as my wife was driving me home, because I had a couple cocktails last night, Eric, mm-hmm. and we did the responsible thing. But I'm watching it on my phone when this happened, and initially I'm like, he scored, and then I'm like, wait a second, I don't think he did, because he didn't look like he scored, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, no, he did score. This is amazing. So it was kind of like this, because initially I'm like, well, maybe he was off or something. I saw the ball go into the back of the net, but his reaction to it is not of, you know, a typical soccer player response to
not
goal.
Flashy.
He's just like, whatever, man. This is just another day at the office for me.
He's like, hey, act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be here a lot more this year, it seems like.
Yeah, well, two games and two goals for Sam. So he's on pace for like 34 of them at this point.
I mean, that's a pretty good season.
We'll take it. Yeah, not bad. And I would say he probably is going to have a brace or two in there as well, the way he's been going.
I wouldn't put it past them, that's for sure.
2-0, and not a lot else to cover on this one, because, again, it was a pretty dominant performance by City. The one thing I want to spend a little bit of time on was this collision that Durkin had with Sands. Sands, this took place in the 80th minute. This was an interesting situation, because Sands, I believe, was on a yellow already.
Mm-hmm.
Durkin, on the collision, was given a yellow, and I think rightfully so. It was a pretty aggressive challenge on his part. But the real story here and what they were looking at was what took place during the actual play of Durkin kind of falling onto the ground, which he sort of went over the top of Sands on. Sands, his cleat comes up, and it looked like he might have like forced upwards a little bit and kind of scraped into the side of Durkin. They're reviewing this, I guess, to see if it was going to be a straight red or not. Not that it would have really mattered, because, I mean, he's already going to be getting a second yellow anyway. I suppose he would be out.
Well, they couldn't give a second yellow on a VAR. That was the reason they were looking.
I got you.
Yeah.
So, but would they have potentially given him the second yellow before they even looked at it, though?
They could have then. Yeah, had it not been like a VAR decision.
Right.
But I think somebody, you know, VAR officials were saying, hey, we got to look at this.
It
looked like an upward,
yeah,
kind of thrust with the foot. But they couldn't have been like, it's another yellow. It would, the only thing that they would have been able to review was it was a straight red.
I heard them say that. So that was my thought, was like, why wouldn't they have just given the guy the yellow to begin with? But, you know, perhaps they just wanted to take a look at it and kind of further clarify. Watching it in real time on TV, it was impossible to see. You probably had a better angle of it on the south end. You mentioned somebody over there in the south end was like, yeah, man, he was like, he was thrusting up with his cleat and he's going to get a red for this. You couldn't tell until they started looking at it from the angle coming from the north end facing south on a camera angle that they had, that you could see the foot go up. I could not tell in real time. And honestly, I still am a little bit curious about the rule. So what are your thoughts? Taking all biases out of this, like, what are your thoughts on that play?
So live, you couldn't tell. To me, it just looked like a collision and that Durkin kind of went over the top of him. And so I thought maybe there was something more done like on the ground, because once we saw the review, because it happens so quick.
Right.
And if you're not kind of like actively anticipating something, or something doesn't quickly stand out, when they go to VAR, you're kind of just like, you know, I don't know, you know, what we're checking. And again, hopefully maybe once the pro refs get this all figured out and we get those rules established, and maybe they will announce over the loudspeak what they are checking before they go check it, so just everybody in the stands knows what's going on. And so when he goes over and then comes back, we see he's kind of like, you know, reaching for the cards. And so we're just assuming, we're all assuming, okay, good, this is on them. They seem more upset about this. But the first thing you see is him throw the yellow to Durkin. And so it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, what is going on?
Right.
But then you see him adjust more and it's like, oh no, here it comes. And then it's red. And so it was still, because they don't show like those type of reviews on the big screen, or they didn't that night. And so there was like a slight time where they showed like the camera angle on the field behind the ref, and you're like trying to squint to see what he's looking at. But even then you couldn't tell. But then rewatching highlights and everything, you do see like he goes over and you could just tell that there is just a little kick out. And, you know, I understand you're getting dominated. Games are frustrating. But nowadays you have to be conscious that it's going to get caught.
Sure.
And
cameras everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the other thing they're looking is, it's not an, you know, if he goes over and studs go into his stomach, but it's just a natural flow.
Definitely could have happened in that situation. That happened so fast.
100%. You know, it would have been overlooked. But, I mean, you do see a clear kick out there, which is the reason for, you know, that straight red. Because, I mean, anytime you're kicking out or showing a malicious intent, you know, going there, it's going to get called. So, correct call, I think, you know. I don't think there should be really any arguments towards it. I didn't really see anything to where they were like,
they didn't
that's
protest
a terrible
lot.
Card. I know they were fired up on the field, but, you know, what team isn't going to be fired up when they just lose a man?
My favorite part about that is that the referee never made eye contact with anybody. He reaches in the yellow. He kind of like looks around for Durkin. You see Sands looking like, am I going to get booked for this?
Yeah.
But he never really, he kind of buries the lead, buries the headline. Yeah. He just reaches for the yellow, kind of finds Durkin and then throws it up, but doesn't look at him. Durkin accepted it. No big deal. I think he realized it probably. And then goes in for the red, doesn't look at Sands at all, throws it up. Sands gets in his face. He's still not really looking, and he's kind of looking around, not making eye contact, and then just kind of walked away. So
the weirdest part I felt about that, though, and I don't know if maybe we just got a little comfortable knowing that we were up 2-0 and they're up a man. It felt like the only time New York really kind of felt like they turned the possession around and pressured us was after they went down a man.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if it's just, you know, us settling in. You know, we had made some subs. We had kind of maybe at that point also felt like, all right, you know, we've got this secure. Let's just not do anything stupid. I always think 2-0 lead in soccer is, you know, the most dangerous lead, because if you do let off the gas too much and then the team scores and they're carrying all this momentum. But it just felt like it was just weird that after they had a man down, that that was the only times I was like, hey, they're kind of coming here. Let's finish this game out. And then the only other thing that I thought was kind of comical was their number 11. He was a sub on the night, Julian Hernandez. He was our boo bird for the night. And it all kicked off was a a ball was shot out, and Berkey actually like stopped it from bouncing out to kind of help, you know, delay the game a little bit, the things that we usually boo keepers for doing, and just, you know, a little strategic tactic as far as delaying them getting the ball back. And Fernandez comes up and shoves Berkey in the chest. And I think if anybody's ever watched a City game, one person they know that they shouldn't touch
right.
is Berkey. And it's honestly, it's a good thing my wife was in the nursing room at the time, because I think she would have handed me the kid and gone and tried to defend her man. But as were a lot of ladies in the area. And so the funny thing about it was, is then he stupidly, because he doesn't know what we do at City Park, goes over to take the corner following it. And then the ref says, hang on, I got to like check to see what else happened. Is this worth reviewing? So then he's just standing in that corner even longer, just getting it. And I mean, as he was running over, we were letting him have it. But then to delay there, at one point he kind of like shrugged his shoulders like, why did I do that? Like, you saw he was like, but then also later in the game, you think he would have learned his lesson. There was a situation where like two balls came on the field. And normally the courteous thing as a player is just you kind of tap it out to the nearest ball boy or something like that. He fires this thing into the fans. And I mean, the South End was, they were fired up at that point. Yeah. So
was it in the South End that
yeah,
the ball
he fired went? It into like the Southwest, like at the about eight rows up. So I mean, like, it's not like it was just like a little, he put it up there. And I mean, that's the best shot he had on the night. So I guess, you know, he can take that, but it was just kind of like, yeah, he kind of stayed farther back when, you know how the team sometimes will come and applaud the away fans. He kind of stayed a little farther back when he came over that night.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wish I could have been there to see that. Was Delaney in the stands at the time he was taking that corner?
No, she was in the – but
she would have liked that.
She has learned – you know, she loved booing. Yeah. That was her favorite thing on the night. I don't know if that's a great thing or not, but she
it's
just –
it's a great thing. Aaron.
There was sometimes where I had to remind her, no, 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 we don't boo now. We don't boo now. But
right. Don't boo when the guys with red have
yeah,
the ball.
Yeah, she loved it.
City wins 2-0. Amazing performance top to bottom, I thought. I can't think of anything that I was not happy about performance-wise. Maybe it will calm down the Facebook pages going ahead for the upcoming weeks, at the very least going into the next win at Austin. But what were your final thoughts on it?
I thought it was our best performance of the year so far. Like I said, I just thought it was great seeing us get back to that press in unison and seeing it work. It was exciting because we hadn't really seen it. We were curious how well they'd work together, seeing Leuven and Durkin work in the center of the park. It's just great knowing that there's rotation options in there and still feeling like it's going to be strong. And I just love that, man, Celio, since last season, he really came into form and really kind of solidified how dangerous he could be. We were always kind of worried that, as we touched on, he's just a spark of energy that, you know, you look maybe more for a sub off the bench or an early sub just because he doesn't carry that energy. But so far this season, he's shown that he has 90 minutes of energy, and he's been probably, I'd say, our most consistent player on the year as far as just in the attacking presence. So it's just exciting seeing it all to come together. And, you know, we're going to a tough place in Austin. I know some of their better players have been a little injured on the year so far, but it's always going to be a tough spot to go. We have great history there, though, so that's where everything all kicked off for us. But my biggest hope that I have going into this game in Austin, because there's no real reason for it at this point, is a lot of times we see game to game just a ton of rotation and changes. And I feel like we finally got things clicking and we finally got things on the same page with the team, that I'm hoping if we do make any changes and if he feels the need and we don't go back to back, it's one or two. And I'm talking, you know, something subtle to where it's like AZ subbed out, Indy subbed out on the wing just because he's gone two games starting back to back, but somebody's right in there to maintain the same, like Thorson or something like that, where we're not making a drastic change in the way we play by changing up the formation. Or similar to, you know, Nielsen went another full 90, you know, Yarrow stepping in. Something to where it's subtle. We still keep the same shape, the same formation. We still run the same way that we just did last night out on the field, and we continue what we finally have clicking.
Yeah, I hope so too. Subtle changes here and there. The core of it, I think I want to see the same. You you know, you've been looking for this form for a bit now. Again, going back to late 2023, and maybe you found it. The last thing you want is to maybe find it and then make too many changes up to it. Let these guys gel. Let this group gel. I mean, with the group that was out there, you know, last night, Saturday night at City Park, Mark Kanick didn't start the season last year. Totland is new this year. Durkin is new this year. You know, AZ and Sam, I mean, they were here last year. AZ didn't start a whole bunch at the beginning of the season last year. Adeniran was on loan for a lot of it.
They both kind of got hot late.
Yeah, so like even that core is pretty new together. So it's like let them gel a little bit. Let them develop and continue to learn. I wouldn't want to take a dominant performance like this and then go a totally different direction. So, you know, here and there, maybe a substitute. And you don't have a midweek game. It's like you should be able to keep most of this together.
And kind
of
like we brought up the point is we didn't want to, like, rather than waiting for a result, we took it. And I think that was exactly what we did Saturday night is we took it. So you want to go do that, look to do that in Austin. We're not going to go there hoping to get a result in a tough place. We're going there to take a result in a tough place. And I think we need to keep that mindset going forward. And I think you bring up a great point there. We have some players that we just saw that gelled and had that chemistry that we've been missing all year. Don't make too many changes and kind of ruin it.
City went 2-0 against Austin last year. They gave up 5 total goals in 2 games, and that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Except City scored 9 in those 2 games.
So 6 that one game?
6-3 the game at City Park. And then the first game, which was that was like August 20th. The first game was February 25th. That opened up the MLS season. Mm-hmm. Of course, Parker's goal to get things started, and then it just kind of rolled from there. They won 3-2 at Austin. So a couple of wins against Austin. Austin comes into this thing winless to this point. They had a draw last week. They lost 2-1 against Minnesota in week one, not playing any extra outside of external competitions outside of the MLS at this point. So just the 2 games. They drew against Seattle in this previous weekend, 0-0, but they absorbed 23 shots in that game, outshot 23-3. Wow. Against Seattle. So amazing they were able to come out of there with any sort of result.
For sure.
When you think about City going 16 shots, now kind of getting that swag back as they did on Saturday night, I got to think that this is going to be an opportunity to just get more explosive and be able to continue to put that pressure on, because a couple of things that you see with a 23-3, you know, shot score there is that the team's absorbing a lot of pressure. They're not getting forward very much either. And when you got a team that can press as well as City at least did, and we've seen it in the past, but coming off on Saturday night, I got to think you just keep the same thing going and just try and keep that ball in their half as much as possible. We mentioned how hard it is to win on the road in this league. The odds certainly reflect it. Austin in this one, I can't ask you, Eric, because we've talked about it, because you went and looked it up.
I didn't purposely look it up. I found it on accident. I still don't know what I'm looking at.
But Austin is a slight favorite. They're a plus 105. I mean, a very slight favorite in this. City's a plus 215. So I think there's a decent amount of potential money to be made on City there, even on the draw no bet option, a plus 140 for City. So they're an underdog, and I like that plus number, Eric. I like it. 2-1 on your money, you're thinking at that point. I'm all in on City in this one. You know, I just don't think that City goes to Austin and loses, you know, the majority of the time here in this situation, at least the way that they just came off playing. Both teams came off playing on Saturday night.
Yeah, I agree. I know, you know, Austin's been up against 2 tough teams to start their year, but yeah, they didn't deal with any sort of congestion. So you knew that. I know they also had a few injuries, especially DeRussi not being in the first 2 games. Not sure where his status is going.
He just got
into
a green card,
weekend,
by the way. That was something. Yeah, we talked about Leuven and who else was it that got one?
Nielsen.
Yeah. So DeRussi missed some time in preseason getting a green card over the last month to probably free up roster spots, just like we had our guys do too. So it's always good to see. I know Drewski's a fan favorite there. Mm-hmm. Not being in the lineup the last couple of weeks, potentially concerning. There's not a lot of news on it.
It's a hamstring, they said, that he's been out, but they're not giving, you know how MLS is. There's no duration.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he's just, we'll reevaluate it in a couple days. And
if
see
the
that.
MLS ever wants fantasy sports to take, fantasy soccer to take off, they're going to need to be a little bit more open with their injury diagnoses.
I know I always leave my, guessing of like what the score is going to be and everything like that until I see the lineup actually put out and the subs, because up until game time, you feel like everybody's available, right, except for like maybe one or two, and it's a clear like they're out for a while, and but everything else is just, yeah, he's progressing along fine.
You know what was crazy is that going into the game last night, we were driving to the Horseshoe, my wife and I, and I was driving there. She was in the passenger seat, and we're on 64 going west, and I'm like, Sarah, I need you to pull up DraftKings. I need you to take a look at a couple of lines, and we got to do this quick, because as soon as we get into that state, we can't make this bet again. Yeah. Look, I know people say things about Illinois. I love it here because it's so free. I feel like you could do whatever. Missouri, they're a little behind on times on some of the things. But so making this bet, so I'm like driving and I'm like, I need you to look at the line. I need you to look at Sam. I need you to look at Sam to score a goal. You're not going to believe this, but he didn't have odds. He wasn't on there.
Really?
So, yeah, right. And so I think part of it is because they wait so long to put out the lineups and you don't really know. And Sam, I feel like, still isn't kind of a like a household name within the league at this point. Mm-hmm. Klaus had the best odds to score.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't even think he's going to be out there. We're all in on Sam, all in on Sam. And his numbers weren't on there to be able to actually get a goal. And we were looking at this as we were on the MLK. Like, we were as close as can be to that cutoff line. And I was like, well, I'll just give up, I guess.
I'm not going to bet it. I mean, with St. Louis being such a massive sports town, just the sheer amount of money that could be made doing
that.
I mean, it's insane. I just still can't believe that it's
well, the idea to be able to bet inside the stadium is like, that's a game changer. We did that in Memphis. I did that in Memphis, I should say. Not we, but I did it. And to be able to do it, you're in Tennessee. It's legalized there, and you're in the arena, and you're able to make live bets while the game's going on. And then during March Madness, you know, you mentioned we were out there watching it too. That would be so cool to be able to do that at City Park, because you can get a feel for the way the game's going.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, there's been a lot of pressure. I think City's gonna get a goal here, but you just can't do it.
My worry is that with you and South End Stan, and then a lot of the other people that we hear around us making bets, is the attentiveness of the game live might go down a little bit. Just because just people yelling out bets the whole time.
Well, but, and also people will be jacked up about like corners and everything.
So
you never know what you're betting on.
Again, like we were talking about with the casino, somebody who just stands by and watches. Like, I get into watching people win bets. Like, that would be so fun. I agree.
Yeah, it would be really cool. Well, I think too, the amount of TVs that are in Hellcat, you could have stuff going on before the game and at halftime. Oh my goodness, it could be. Oh, the possibilities, man. Get your stuff together, Missouri. We'll figure this thing out. Eric, a big one coming up March 9th in Austin. Again, Austin winless on the season. St. Louis 1-0-1-1. Sorry, 1-1-0. I know that they always
Confusing.
It's confusing. We're going to say one win, one draw, zero defeats on the year for City in the MLS. And that puts them right in the mix. 4 points, that's the top of the league at this point. I think there's like five or six teams that are in that same boat. So nobody, at least in a first couple of matches, has ran away with anything. That will change, of course. But look, it was tight last year. I would imagine it'll be the same.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like you said, there's not really been a team that so far has, you know, came out and you've just been like, oh my God, you know, I know there were a lot of big scores on throughout the weekend, but you know, that just can happen at any time. I think a lot of the preseason favorites also have kind of, you know, been, I know they predicted Seattle to like really top the West, and I think they're winless so far.
Yeah.
So you just never know this early on, but it's just exciting knowing that we're so far, we're keeping up with everybody else and we're in the mix.
Eric, what else do you have for us today?
Just one last thing, just for comedy's sake, that if you want to kind of bring yourself back to your childhood, is go back to Apple TV and check out the RSL LAFC game this past weekend. They were playing in about throughout the game, there was probably about an inch of snow on the field at all times. At when the ball was down at the other end of the field, you saw ball boys shoveling out the lines. They used the classic orange ball so you don't lose it in the snow. It just looked like a bunch of kids, you know, out there running around playing in the snow. Not high quality soccer,
no, of course,
by
not.
Any means. But it was just something that I think, you, if you want a quick little laugh, or just be like, they play in everything. Yep, they play in everything.
Snow games are always fun, for sure.
Go check that out. And then, as always, make sure you send in those South End submissions. We'd love to answer any questions you may have on the show and have you guys a part of the show. We love having that. And where you could do it is on all our socials. On Instagram, we're South End Supporters. Our Twitter is capital SES underscore podcast SEL. And then make sure you're also following us on our Facebook page to keep up with all things South End Supporters.
Another episode in the books. Want to say thank you so much to Postal Coffee Company for continuing to sponsor this show and allowing us to deliver this news to you all. Please remember to head over to postalcoffeeco.com, type in code SOUTHEND at checkout to get 15% off that first order of coffee. Thanks so much for listening. For Eric Cole, this is David Heck. We'll see you next week. And until then, let's go City.